tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 17th of February 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at something that is going on in the courts and it concerns the Turkish refugee who in Britain last year he set fire to a Quran. And he was attacked by a Muslim. A Muslim tried to stab him. And instead of the Muslim who tried to stab him being prosecuted for stabbing him, the person that was burning the Quran was prosecuted. And at first he lost and he was found guilty rather than the person that did the stabbing. So he appealed that and then the charges were lifted. The finding of the court that he was guilty was reversed. And now it's going to be back in the courts again. And it's actually going to be in the courts today. So we should have found out what the result of that is by the time that this goes live. And we'll use GB News for the first article that we have here talking about this. Britain could have Muslim blasphemy laws by Tuesday. The founder of the Free Speech Union has warned ahead of a major High Court ruling. Hamit Koskun, who burned a Quran outside a Turkish consulate in London, won an appeal against his religiously aggravated public order conviction in October. And as I say, that's now being appealed against by the government. I mean, he said that this was free speech. They said that it was a religiously aggravated public order offence. But we sure, I mean, obviously, it's offensive to set fire to a Quran. But would setting fire to a Bible cause any response? Like somebody might want to stab you, or you would be prosecuted for religiously aggravated public order offence. I mean, if you purchase a book and then set fire to it, surely that's your right to do that. I mean, what he was doing here was protesting against the Islamification of Turkey. That's why it was outside the Turkish consulate. He's actually living over here as a Turkish refugee, a genuine refugee. And that's why he was doing this. And he thought he would be protected in doing this, as Britain is a Christian country. It's a democracy. And yet he was prosecuted anyway for doing this. I mean, don't forget, he was a Muslim, or he's an ex-Muslim, or he was brought up in an Islamic country. And that's why he's taking refuge in Britain. So of all people, if he wanted to burn a Quran, it should be this man who was allowed to do that. He now has to live in a safe house. So he has to have police protection. He has to have an assumed name. He has to be hiding from the general public because of the threat that there is to him from other people in Britain. And yet he's still the one that is being prosecuted. The Crown Prosecution Service is now attempting to reverse the decision and will have its case heard at the High Court this Tuesday. And I would say that's quite political. That really shows that the Crown Prosecution Service has been taken over by political activists, because this appeal has already been heard. Why is it that they are continuing to push this? And I think it's possibly because of Islamic interest groups that could be putting pressure on them. Perhaps we don't hear that much about them, but we do know that's how it works with Jewish special interest groups. Jez Turner, who had a protest against what he called the Jewification of Britain, where he wanted to protest against the disproportionate number of Jews that are in the establishment and in the government and their effect on the government. And he carried out a protest, and the Crown Prosecution Service said, he's not actually broken the law here, we're not going to prosecute him. So then the Community Service Trust, or the Community Protections, Community Security Trust, that's Gideon Falter's organisation that advocates for Jews, they then said that they were going to take out a civil prosecution of him, and they also claimed that they were victims and that they needed a victim's right to review. That this it needed to be reviewed whether they were going to prosecute him or not. And again, the Crown Prosecution Service said, well, we don't think that he's actually broken the law. Then Gideon Falter then took out a judicial review, and he went and had a visit with the Home Secretary, and the Crown Prosecution Service didn't even challenge it after that. And they did prosecute Jez Turner, and he was found guilty. So I think that shows you the influence that Jewish advocacy organizations have. They can directly interfere with the Crown Prosecution Service. And this may well be the same for Muslim organizations. They may also have back channels through which they can get the Crown Prosecution Service to do their bidding. Now, a Tory peer, Lord Young, that's from the Free Speech Union, the founder of the Free Speech Union, has told GB News a successful appeal would lead to Muslim blasphemy laws in Britain. The FSU chief, who will back Mr. Coskun against the CPS, issued a series of warnings last night of what could happen if he loses. If the court overturns his acquittal and upholds the conviction, that will effectively create a Muslim blasphemy law by the back door, he said. It will send a message to Muslim fanatics up and down the country that if they want to enforce Islamic blasphemy codes, all they have to do is violently attack the blasphemer, and the blasphemer will then be charged with a religiously aggravated public order offence. And I'll just pause there, because this is something that I've been saying for a long time. I've been saying, because they've made it against the law to say certain things, to use certain words, then that effectively gives a license to people to physically attack others who are saying things that they don't like. Because they can say, well, I was trying to prevent a crime. I was trying to prevent the person from breaking the Public Order Act when they were criticising government immigration policy, for instance. If they were using racial slurs while doing so, then it gives a license to members of ethnic minorities to physically attack the person that is criticising the government immigration policy. That's the situation that we're in. And the person that did the physical violence will not be prosecuted. The person that was criticising government immigration policy, they are the ones that will be prosecuted. And that is what has happened here. There is somebody that has been making a criticism of the Islamification of Turkey by doing it in an offensive way, by setting fire to a Quran. The response to that was a Muslim fanatic with a knife tried to stab him. And instead of the Muslim fanatic with the knife being prosecuted, it was the man that was doing the protest that was being prosecuted. And if this appeal goes the other way, it goes towards the Crown Prosecution Service, it means that there will be a precedent set that if somebody violently attacks somebody else who is protesting, and if they're protesting something to do with protected characteristics, then it will be the person that was doing the protest that will be prosecuted, and not the person that tried to stab them or hit them with a hammer or physically attack them. That's the precedent that will actually be set here. And as I say, it's something that I've been talking about for a long time, that the British laws basically give a license to people to physically attack others if they disagree with their political speech. So Toby Young said, it is a recipe for chaos. It will be the death knell for free speech in Britain, and it will cause a huge rise in community tensions. You know, censoring people and preventing them from being able to talk through their issues, that's what causes the community tensions. That's what causes people to think, well, I'm going to have to take the law into my own hands and carry out a violent act to try and achieve my political aims, because I'm not even allowed to express my political aims. And if you say to people, you're not allowed to speak, then they really have no option other than to use sign language. They don't have any option other than to use their fists if you prevent people from actually talking things through. This is why it's so important that you have free speech in a democracy, which America does still understand. But in Britain, we don't seem to understand that. Keir Starmer certainly doesn't understand it. And these are the sort of things that it leads, the sort of problems that it can lead to. Violence against somebody being accepted because what they're saying is the opposite of what the person carrying out the violence is doing. I mean, it always used to be in Britain that we were taught to be tolerant of people with different views to ourselves. And it was one of the great things about Britain is that we had lots of eccentric different views and we had lots of eccentric different political parties. Lots of individual people with individual ways of looking at things, and that was celebrated. And it's the opposite of that today. If you are an individual who has your own opinions about things and they're not the state's official opinion, you can be locked up for that, or you can be violently attacked. And what they're saying here is if you are violently attacked, then what the state will say is, well, you incited him to violently attack you by saying or doing something that he didn't like. And it was related to protected characteristics. Of course, protected characteristics are ethnicity, religion, gender, sex, disability, all things like that. So if you are protesting against anything which concerns one of those characteristics, and somebody decides to physically attack you, they can say, well, it was your fault. You incited them. You incited them to attack you, and they could prosecute you. So it's not just that this could bring in a blasphemy law by the back door. It will also set precedent that anyone that disagrees with what somebody on the right is saying, they can physically attack them. And then the person that's been physically attacked will be prosecuted for inciting an attack against themselves. Lord Young went on to ask, why should Islamic blasphemy codes be embedded in our criminal law, but not Christian blasphemy codes, which were scrapped 18 years ago? And of course, the argument to that is, well, it's not a specific Islamic blasphemy code. They're not saying that anybody that says anything against the Prophet Muhammad is breaking the law. What we're saying here is that they were breaking the Public Order Act because they were creating disorder by insulting the Islamic faith. So it's a very convoluted way, but the end result is the same. The end result is the same as if the guy was burning a Quran out in Iran or out in Saudi Arabia. He would be prosecuted for that. And it's the same here. It's just that they use this disguise of, it was hate speech that caused that, rather than being free speech is what it should be. Free speech means that you don't have any restrictions on the words that you use. You don't incite violence against somebody, and that's a different thing altogether. But free speech literally means you are free to use whatever words you like to describe what it is that you are seeing. And if you add hate speech to that, it says, well, you are not allowed to use your own words to describe what you are seeing. You are only allowed to use the words that we give you, and you're only allowed to describe things in the prescribed way, which is not free speech, is it? It's ridiculous censorship. Mr. Koskin was found guilty of a religiously aggravated public order offence in 2025 after shouting F Islam while burning the Muslim holy book outside the consulate. And of course, that's very offensive, and I certainly would not encourage anybody to do that. I find that offensive myself, that somebody would say something like that and burn the Quran. But I don't think that he should be prosecuted for that. If it's his Quran, I mean, if he's stolen the Quran, then he should be done for stealing, shouldn't he? But he should be free to say these things, and he should be free to say that he doesn't like Islam. I mean, he was using offensive language there. I'll say it was offensive, but you should be free to say that you don't like Islam, and you should be free to burn whatever book you like, even if it is provocative. The quashing of his conviction was hailed as a free speech victory by politicians, including Robert Jenrick. Well, Robert Jenrick was in the government that didn't overturn all of these ridiculous restrictions on free speech. And Robert Jenrick was in the same government that presided over the Boris wave and massive immigration. And he talked about how proud he was about bringing Afghans into the country and giving them council houses. So the fact that he is hailing this as a free speech victory, I guess what it shows you is that there are some people in the mainstream that are against this conviction as well. But the problem is they were in the mainstream. They were in a position to change these laws, and yet they didn't. Before travelling to London, he wrote posts on social media detailing his plan and saying that it was to protest the Islamist government of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, whom he said has made Turkey a base for radical Islamists and is trying to establish a Sharia regime. I mean, he might as well have been showing that Britain is now a base for radical Islamists, and it has a Sharia regime in Britain that prosecutes people for burning the Quran, and I'll now go out and prove that by going out and burning this Quran in London. I mean, he said he was protesting against one thing, but in actual fact, he was proving what he was accusing Turkey of. He actually ended up proving it was actually true of Britain, that Britain has been made a base for radical Islamists. And when they try to stab you for insulting Islam, you will be the one that's being prosecuted. He went on to hold the burning book aloft while shouting slogans, including "Islam is the religion of terrorism" and "F Islam." Again, I may not agree with what he was saying there. May be offensive in the way that he was saying it, but that's all. It's offensive language. It's not something that somebody should be stabbed over. It's not something that somebody should be prosecuted over either. During the incident, a passerby named Musa Kadri attacked him, but only received a suspended prison sentence. So I say he pulled out a knife and tried to stab him, and he didn't even get a jail sentence. You get more of a jail sentence for putting stickers up than trying to stab one. If you happen to be a Muslim and you're stabbing someone that's protesting against Islam. Lord Young told GB News on Monday the CPS seems absolutely determined to try and to make sure that anyone who burns a copy of the Quran and who is attacked as a consequence is prosecuted in future. Should he prevail in court, Mr. Koskin has pledged to continue burning Qurans on a planned tour of Birmingham, Liverpool and Glasgow in protest against the Islamification of Turkey. Well again, that really looks like a protest against the Islamification of Britain. It looks like it will be a demonstration of the Islamification of Britain if he gets attacked again for doing this and then prosecuted for it. The National Secular Society, supporting Mr. Koskin alongside the Free Speech Union, agreed that the Crown Prosecution Service appears determined to establish a blasphemy law by the back door. An NSS spokesman said prosecutors were casting those subjected to violence for offending religious sensibilities as the wrongdoers, which is a stark inversion of justice. And again, as I say, it's not just about Islam, is it? It's if you are criticizing anything on the left and a left-wing person physically attacks you, the state will say, well, you incited them to violence against you because you were protesting against transgenderism or protesting against immigration or protesting against feminism or any of these other issues that are inextricably linked to protected characteristics. If he loses, the White House is said to be in discussions to grant him refugee status in the States. Which, again, is interesting. There are some German people who have already taken America up on its offer of refugee status. I believe there are also people from South Africa. It is good to see that America is actually taking in white refugees now and starting to limit the non-white refugees. I mean, that's what the asylum system was actually for. It wasn't intended for people from Africa to pick which country in Europe they wanted to be in. It was intended for people in Europe, if a war broke out in Europe again, so that they could be accepted into the nearest country next door. Such an outcome would be extremely embarrassing for Sir Keir Starmer, who is Mr. Human Rights, after all, Lord Young said. So what it means by that, it would be embarrassing for Keir Starmer because it's the human rights of Mr. Coskin that are being violated, and that's why he would be accepted in as a refugee in America. For an asylum seeker who has come to the UK fleeing persecution in Turkey to be granted political asylum in America on human rights grounds because his human rights are endangered in Britain would be hugely, hugely embarrassing for Keir Starmer and the Labour government. In a statement launching its appeal, the CPS said there was no law to prosecute people for blasphemy. And of course, they will say that. And what we're saying is the end result of the laws we actually have, if they're going to be interpreted in the way that the judges are interpreting them, results in a law to prosecute people for blasphemy by the back door. It might call it the Public Order Act, but it is in actual fact it can be used to go after people for being critical of Islam. It added, our case remains that Hamid Koskun's words, choice of location and burning of the Quran amounted to disorderly behaviour. Well, he was said he was protesting against Turkey and it was outside the Turkey consulate. I guess you could say, I mean, he was swearing in public. That's offensive. He shouldn't be doing that. But that's not what they're prosecuting him for. You don't get prosecuted under the Public Order Act for swearing. Get prosecuted under the Public Order Act for saying critical things of people with protected characteristics and using it in a certain type of language which could be considered insulting. And I don't think he was using racial slurs, and he just said F Islam, which is effectively saying that he doesn't like Islam, but saying it in an offensive manner. The CPS said, we have appealed the decision and the judge has agreed to state a case for the High Court to consider. As I say, that is actually going on today, so we should know what the result of that is by the end of today. But as it mentions here, if it does get reversed, then Hamid Koskun will very likely go to America. So let's just have a look at what they have to say about that. And again, this comes from GB News. Donald Trump's administration is in discussions to grant refugee status to a man who burnt the Quran outside Turkey's London embassy, should he lose his High Court appeal. State Department officials are making preparations to assist Hamid Koskun in leaving Britain if the ruling this Tuesday goes against him. So this isn't just hot air. They've actually spoken to him. They've actually made arrangements so that they can actually get him out of Britain. If he gets sent to prison, then there will be difficulty in getting him out. But I think even when they found him guilty, I don't think they put him in prison for it. And if you're a white man and you break the Public Order Act, you're going to get years in jail. But if you're a Turkish man and you break the Public Order Act, you'll just get a suspended sentence. The move threatens to intensify already strained relations between Washington and London over free speech, as critics accuse Sir Keir Starmer's government of undermining fundamental rights. And it is a fundamental right to have free speech. It's in the UN Declaration of Human Rights that we are supposed to have free speech. We are supposed to have free and unrestricted access to information. We're supposed to be able to share this information across borders. And what they're really saying with the internet is, oh no, certain information you're not allowed to share across borders. That's what this Online Safety Act is all about. They can say to Elon Musk, well, we don't want this information being seen by the British people. You have to take it down. And they'll do that under the guise of, oh, it's for reasons of national security. And this really gets me. When I was in prison, I was there under the National Security Division because they saw it as a matter of national security that I was using old-fashioned English and abbreviating the word Pakistani when talking about the mayor of London. So this term national security is being abused, and it's abused so that they can get away with restricting free speech. I mean, if the general public knew that that's what they meant by matters of national security, I think they would be quite concerned about that. You hear about national security, you think about terrorism, you think about violent acts, things that actually threaten the security of a country, hijacking an airplane, things like that. They don't think that it's abbreviating the word Pakistani or using old-fashioned words to describe black people. I mean, it's quite scandalous, really, that national security is invoked in order to restrict people's speech. As I say, we're supposed to be able to share information across borders. And that's what it says in the UN Declaration of Human Rights. But it also gives this caveat of unless it's for a matter of national security, and that's what they get away with doing this under. It should really be challenged, to be honest. A senior official from the US administration confirmed Mr. Koskin's situation was one of several cases that the administration has made note of. And of course, they've also highlighted the fact that people who are outside abortion centres praying can now be arrested. And they took note of that lady that was arrested, I think, multiple times for silently praying outside an abortion centre. Yeah, this is where these restrictions on free speech end up. They end up with people being arrested and charged with because they might have been thinking something that they're not allowed to think. I mean, that's what it's saying, isn't it? If you can be prosecuted for silent prayer, it means you can be prosecuted for something you were thinking. Not something you did, but something that you were thinking. And in the place where you are actually thinking it. I think Mark Collette is quite correct when he refers to it as thought crime. And these BBC journalists are extremely disingenuous, pretending not to understand how these speech crimes are in actual fact thought crime. And if you're going to accuse somebody of intending to do something or likely to stir up hate, and then you look through their social media, you can't find them actually encouraging people to hate others, but you find them using some racial slurs in there, then they will infer from that that that's what you were doing. We now know what you were thinking. You were intending on inciting hate, so therefore we'll find you guilty. It's all about what you were actually thinking at the time, whereas the law should only really be used to prosecute people for concrete actions that have harmed somebody or stolen something from somebody. Not that somebody might have been thinking or praying to God when they were stood outside an abortion centre, or somebody used a not very trendy word when they were protesting against immigration. Getting back to this article here, Mr. Koskin, who is of Armenian Kurdish descent and sought asylum in Britain from Turkey, said he might have to leave court if the court rules against him. I do find that quite funny, actually, that he's Kurdish, because you do hear that whatever country the Kurds are in, they do cause problems for the establishment. And that is exactly what's happening here. He is causing problems for the establishment, isn't he? He says, for me, as a victim of Islamic terrorism, I cannot remain silent. I may be forced to flee the UK and move to the United States, where President Trump has stood for free speech and against Islamic extremism, he told the Telegraph. He described such an outcome as proof that Britain had effectively fallen to Islamism and the speech codes that it wishes to impose on the non-Muslim world. As I pointed out earlier, his protest proves that, doesn't it? I mean, it absolutely proves that Britain has fallen to Islamism. When you get prosecuted for saying F Islam and setting fire to your own Quran, and the person that pulls out a knife and tries to stab you doesn't even get a prison sentence. I mean, that does effectively say that it's fallen to Islamism and that these Islamic speech codes are being imposed on the non-Muslim world. The 51-year-old, now residing in a safe house for his own protection, accused Sakir of making a political calculation to secure the Muslim vote ahead of the next general election. And there is that too. They don't want to upset the Muslims. And they rely in large part on the Muslim vote. But because of this issue with Israel and Palestine, more and more Muslims now are voting for other Muslims in independent parties. So the Labour vote isn't so secure amongst the Muslims anymore. So something like this, they would definitely want to try and show that they are clamping down hard on anti-Islam thought. Should he prevail in court, Mr. Coskun pledged to continue burning Qurans throughout the country as political protest against what he termed Turkey's Islamification. As I say, I do find that funny. I mean, what it's actually doing is a protest against Britain's Islamification. That's what it looks like. But what he says he's doing is protesting Turkey. Lord Young of Acton, General Secretary of the Free Speech Union, warned that a CPS victory would establish what he called a stabber's veto. If anyone carries out violence against somebody for political speech that they don't agree with, then that person who's carrying out the political speech will be prosecuted for inciting that other person to stab them. If the CPS succeeds in getting Hammett's acquittal overturned, breaking an Islamic blasphemy code, whether it is desecrating the holy book or showing a class of schoolchildren cartoons of Muhammad, will become a religiously aggravated public order offence, just so long as the blasphemer is violently attacked by Muslim fanatics, he said. As I say, it doesn't have to be Muslims. You know, you could be talking about immigration or transgenderism, and it could be a white person that violently attacks you. They could still say that this is an ethnically aggravated public order offence or a anti-homosexuality aggravated public order offence. I mean, once they bring in a religiously aggravated public order offence, there's nothing to stop them from applying other protected characteristics to that term either. He added, it will sound the death knell for free speech in Britain. Well, I think that was sounded quite a few decades back, actually, Sir Toby. The National Secular Society, which is supporting Mr. Coskun alongside the FSU, said the CPS appears determined to establish a blasphemy law by the back door. An NSS spokesman said prosecutors were casting those subjected to violence for offending religious sensibilities as the wrongdoers, a stark inversion of justice. Tensions between the US and the UK over freedom of expression flared publicly last February when Vice President J.D. Vance declared at the Munich Security Conference that free speech in Britain was in retreat. And listeners will remember, if they listened to the interview I did with Mark Collette on New Year's Eve, that was one of my high points of 2025, was the speech that J.D. Vance gave at the Munich Security Conference. It was absolutely excellent, and it literally left some of the NATO leaders in tears the next day at what he said about the real threat in Europe actually coming from the politicians and the establishment, and it's the threat to free speech, which is essential if you want a functioning democracy. Washington has also criticised Britain's Online Safety Act, which imposes fines of up to £18 million, or 10% of annual revenue, on social media platforms failing to remove harmful content. Not failing to remove illegal content, failing to remove harmful content. And who is it that decides if the content is harmful? Well, it's the British government, isn't it? So what that means is, if they decide they don't want people to know something, they can say, well, we think that it's harmful content. Elon Musk, you have to take down those immigration statistics. You have to take down those statistics about rapes that are being carried out by refugees, because we think that's harmful content. We think it's, even though it's not exactly breaking the law, we think it's harmful anyway. So the fact that we already have these laws against free speech, that's not enough for the government. They want to take down speech that is well within the law as well. It's rather like saying, well, even though you're only doing 25 miles an hour and you're not breaking the 30 mile an hour speed limit, we're going to prosecute you anyway, because we think that you might really be wanting to go a little bit over the speed limit, but you're just sticking at 25. I mean, all of this is so ludicrous. And it reminds me of that saying, what a tangled web we weave when first we attempt to deceive. And that's what's going on here. Deceiving the public by pretending that this is all about protecting minorities from violence, when in actual fact it's about censoring people and preventing them from criticizing government policy. And what this Turkish chap was doing here, I mean, he was just highlighting that criticism of Islam is censored, and or the government will like to censor it if it's done in an offensive way. But as I say, you should be able to be offensive. You should be able to hear people say offensive things without taking offence. You should be adult enough not to take offence, and you should have control over your own emotions enough so that you don't lash out at people for saying things that you disagree with. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.